All right, go to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to continue our study in the book of Ephesians. As you're turning, we've already looked in chapter 1, and we have understood that the church is the body of Christ. And as we looked into this in chapter 1, we saw that Jesus Christ is the head, and we as Christians are the body. And therefore, it's called the body of Christ. That is the church. And so therefore, we know the church is not a building of bricks and wood. It's made up of people. And these people, individuals like you and me, make up the body of Christ, where Jesus is the head. Significant that Jesus is the head. He's not the feet, he's not the arms, he's not the legs, he's the head. It is the center of direction, of giving guidance, of authority, Jesus Christ. Now, Paul then takes us in chapter 2 to a new illustration of the church, and that is that of a building. And that is why I have the blocks up here on stage with me. The blocks should help us, Lord willing, to see and understand the church as the building of God's habitation. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'd like to begin reading in verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, a couple of things we see in that passage. I just want to make note and remind us of our status. Remember, the Apostle Paul talked about the Jews and the Gentiles and how Jesus is our peace. And we looked at that last time together, and how the Gentiles have now been made near to the Lord through Jesus Christ. And now both Jews and Gentiles are equal. Their status is as fellow citizens. Equality exists in the church between Jew and Gentile. So they are fellow citizens, but not only that, they're family. And there is an intimacy there. You look at verse 19, you see, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. Fellow citizens, there is an equality there. Everyone's on the same level in the church of God. And, he says, of the household of God. Another way you could say that is the family of God. I don't know about you, but I do look at our church as a family, a faith family. A family that is designed by God, has been put together to love one another, to care for one another. We work together to accomplish God's purposes. And it is a joy to be together with you, to work with you. It's a joy to be a part of the family of God. But there's more than just this, the family that we can see and touch. Being a part of the family of God means that we are a part of God's family. Now, think about what that means. God as our Father. And the scripture tells us in Romans, we are fellow heirs with Jesus Christ. We are the family of God. Our status is that of fellow citizens and family. But we also understand that there is a structure to this church. There is a structure. And what we're going to look at for the remaining portion of our time is that structure, the bedrock in the building. The bedrock, or the foundation, and the building. Verse 20 in our passage today reads, and it goes this way, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, who is built upon? He is speaking to these Ephesian believers, and they are being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And in here, we see what the bedrock of the church really is. We see the foundational structure. And if you know about building, you know that the foundation is of utmost importance. We know about the Leaning Tower of Pisa, right? We know that this, I believe it's 170-some feet tall, but it's leaning. Any idea how deep the foundation is of that structure? According to my research, it's 10 feet. And it's an amazing thing also that the name Pisa, P-I-S-A, and I'm not Italian, I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, but it means marshy land. And so you have this, the importance of a foundation. And as I shared with the children this morning, I've taught my kids as they build with blocks the importance of a firm foundation. And for a while, all we had in our blocks, in our repertoire, were just small little blocks where in order to make a firm foundation, we had to put a whole bunch of them together. And of course, in carpet, they would be uneven. And the buildings wouldn't get too high until they would fall. And eventually then I would begin to, I'd begin to get some scrap wood and we'd get some larger blocks of wood. And the kids have learned the importance of a firm foundation. Now, in biblical times, when they would be building, they would build using one key stone called a cornerstone. Now, today, we kind of use it as a formality or whatever. You'll go around, you'll see different important buildings or churches, and they'll have this stone that's different than everything else, and it's marked with a date and maybe some people's names, and it's considered the cornerstone. Well, in these days, the cornerstone was the initial stone laid. And that stone played a very, very important role. The stone was usually a little larger than the rest of them. The stone had been worked on with great detail so that it was of just the right shape, so that it when it was placed at the corner, it established the direction for the entire building process. I mean, if you can picture with me, if you will, you have this being the footprint of the building, and if you lay the cornerstone, and if you lay it like this, right, your building's not going to be square. It's important that that placement and that this cornerstone is of utmost importance, that when you establish it just in the corner, just making it just right, the other walls will then work and work well. Now, you know that having standards in building is important. Having standards and doing it right, starting out right, is important. I was working with a friend of mine not too long ago, and I was building a desk. And as a part of the building process, and my friend, much better carpenter than I, he had a square much like this one, and we were using this square to make the desk to have 90 degree angles to make it all work and fit properly. Well, as we got the desk top all cut out and we were checking it with measuring tape, we found out it was out of square. But yet we were using a square. And I don't know how long we fussed with that, we cut off different sides and different things, trying to get it all work, but it was just not working. It just kept being out of square. And finally, we had the bright idea, let's check the square. And you know what? The square was off. Well, what did that do? Why did that cause us such a problem?
You see, the square was what our standard was. We were using it to guide us in the building process. But the square was off. And so therefore, the shape wasn't right. It wasn't right. Well, just like that in the church, the Apostle Paul is here declaring that Jesus Christ is the chief corner. If you notice in the King James Version, the word stone is in italics. It's because it's not in the original text. It's a fair addition. But Jesus is the chief corner. Chief meaning the foremost, the most important corner of this building. So as we think about the church and we think about the bedrock of the church and its structure, it is of utmost importance that we view Jesus Christ as the one who gives us our direction, who is our standard, who is our guide. As Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, is laid perfectly by God, therefore we can know that God will build his church, and it will be just right, because it's built upon Jesus Christ, who is the chief cornerstone, who is laid just where it needs to be.
Not only is Jesus Christ a part of that bedrock as the chief cornerstone, but we also see that the apostles and prophets are a part of that foundation. Now, before we go too far, I don't want us to get the wrong idea. The apostles and prophets are not being exalted as more important than Jesus Christ in the church. Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But we also know that the apostles and prophets are very important to the church, and we know that because in this passage, the Apostle Paul writes, and he says, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Foundation. The foundation is that initial layer of building material. But you know what? All of that is under the submission or under the authority of the cornerstone. The cornerstone is laid in its appropriate place, and the rest of the foundation is laid accordingly. If you've ever built a wall, many times you would start with the end or corner where you want to begin, establish that corner, and then from there you would run out your string lines, and you would go by those string lines, but you know what those string lines are? They all originated where? At that cornerstone. The apostles, they are sent ones. These are the ones that we see primarily in the book of Acts. They're helping to start the church. Peter and Paul are notable ones, but there are others, those disciples that walked with Jesus Christ while he was on earth. The New Testament helps us understand that the apostles are those that had been with Jesus, who had seen Jesus. Now, doesn't that make sense? That the very apostles that were part of the foundation of the church had intimate connection with Jesus Christ, the very cornerstone. So the apostles and the prophets. The prophets are those proclaimers of God's truth, whether it be revelation for now or revelation for in the future. And we see that from the apostles throughout the New Testament. It's God's word, God's revelation is declared through the apostles and prophets. You see the Apostle Paul writing, you see James writing, you see Peter. You see all of these writers who were either apostles or under direct influence from an apostle of Jesus Christ. So as we consider this, in this passage, I want you to note that Apostle Paul, he's speaking to the Gentile Ephesian believers, and he's saying, you have been drawn, been made near by Jesus Christ. Jesus is your peace. There's an equality. Your status is no longer as foreigners, but your fellow citizens.
You're not strangers, you're family. But when he comes and he talks about this building, and he talks about the foundational structure of it, you don't see Jew and Gentile mentioned. What you see is you see Jesus Christ, and you see the apostles and the prophets. He doesn't mention the fact that all of the apostles were Jews. Doesn't mention that. Because that's not of what is important here. The importance is that the church has a quality foundation. Has a foundation that can be trusted. Has a foundation like nothing else. It's Jesus Christ who is the guide and the one who gives its direction. It goes hand in hand with the illustration of Jesus as the head. Because it is the head that gives the direction and guidance and the authority. And therefore the building gets its guidance, direction, and its authority from the chief cornerstone. The apostles and prophets God used to play a very significant role in the establishment of the church. Just read the book of Acts sometime. It's an incredible story as you march through and you see God using these men as they were confronted by the religious people of the day. They were doing things differently. They were not staying within the bounds of what the Jews thought they should. But yet they saw Jesus Christ as their authority. And they followed him. They obeyed him. Now that should go true for us. You know, you and I, we are a part of this church. And we must be, in order for us to be consistent, we must have one guide, one person who's giving us direction, and that be just Jesus Christ. If we get our eyes off of Jesus Christ and begin heading in all these different directions, different programs or different people, we are going to end up in confusion and disarray and non-productive for the kingdom of God. It's for a great reason that the Apostle Paul writes these truths and establishes for us Jesus is the head, Jesus is the cornerstone. The apostles and prophets, valuable part of the foundation of it. Now that's just the foundation. That's the bedrock of the structure. But let's talk about the building. Let's talk about the building, the framing of it. And this is interesting. You look at this text here and he says in verse 21, in whom, now in whom, speaking of in Jesus Christ, all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Now I want you to notice this significant point. The building is continually growing. Boy, that encourages me. Why? You know why? It's because the building wasn't done before I was born. Meaning I didn't have to stand outside and wonder how I could become a part of the building. No. The building is continually growing. This is a present tense verb here. Groweth, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth, is continually growing unto a holy temple in the Lord. This building built upon Jesus Christ and the apostles and prophets is something that is continually growing. It is made up of each individual believer, stones as a part of this wall and this structure that is continually being built. And you might say, well, how long is it going to be built? Well, flip over to chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4. Apostle Paul continues with his building theme. And I want you to notice verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, edifying is a building term, to build up.
till we all come, here it is, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, here's that term, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. You know what?
This building is continually growing. And there, its structure is continuing to rise and to take shape. And that will continue until it matches the fullness of Jesus Christ. Now, who knows what that is? Who knows what that looks like? It's God Himself. God is the one.
God will establish when that time has come, and at that time, Jesus will come,
and He will take His bride, the church, that's another picture of the church, and take His bride to be with Him. Because the church has reached that stature of the fullness of Christ. That building has been completed. Now this building, as if any building, is made up of material. And the material is you and me. It's you and me. As believers in Jesus Christ, we make up the church. Just like the church is the body of Christ, we are the members of the body. So the building, the church is a building of God's habitation. And we are the stones that make up the walls and the structure and established upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and the apostles and prophets. And it's continually growing. And it's for that reason that you and I have been called to go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, so that those people, the people that know not God, might become part of the structure, the building of Jesus Christ, the church. You see, none of this would work if there was still a division and inequality between Jews and Gentiles. No, Jesus Christ is our peace. We are all united in Him. And it's because of that that all people in the world are called, are invited to become a part of the church. This building is continually growing. This building is for this purpose. It's for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, as we think about the building and we think about this structure and how we have the foundation and we build upon it, in each of these individual blocks being of different shape, playing different roles, each of us being believers as a part of this building, yes, we're all different, but the Scripture teaches us this important thing, that each of us have the Spirit of God living within us. Wow. God living within us, you and me, the Spirit of God. And with that being the case, as this building is being built, this is becoming a habitation for God. You know what? Where's the house of God? The house of God is the church. Well, what is the church? People. People. The church is people. And the purpose, as it is described here, is that the church is being built up into a habitation for God, a dwelling place for Him. Notice the terminology he uses. Temple. Now, Paul's a Jew. Now, he's ministering to Gentiles primarily. But an understanding of a temple in those days could have been two things. Could have been, one, the temple, the Jewish temple. Could have been the Jewish temple where that was the focus of the Jewish religion, the worship they would go there. That was to be the dwelling place of God. Well, also, we're thinking of Ephesus. There was a great temple there. It was not towards for God. It was the temple of Diana, one of the seven ancient wonders of the world, incredible in its beauty, and it wielded great authority in this city. But that was a place that housed this worship for a false god. So this is the picture now, that this church, the building, is fitly formed together, and its purpose is for a dwelling place for God. Now, what do we do with all of this? How might God want to use all of this in our lives and encourage us? Well, I want you to realize that the church is continually growing, and God is continually at work developing His church and growing it. That encourages my heart. You know, just like God is growing you and me, and He's teaching us and He's making us stronger so that that piece of the building where we fit in, we might become even stronger. And we might be a more productive part of that body. It's a continual work of God in our lives. The church is continually growing. Also, as we think about this, we think we've got to go to the place of thinking, am I a habitation for the Lord? As a believer, yes, you are. And if so, what's that look like? What's that look like? Jesus Christ has saved us through His grace by faith. And the Scripture tells us that the Spirit of God comes and dwells within us. But how often do we really, really, truly think about how God resides within us? You know, we can't hide anything from Him because He's God. He already knows all things. So that's out of the way. We totally need Him in order to live righteously. And so here comes the truth. How are you doing in living in the Spirit of God? Walking in the Spirit. The Scripture tells us in Galatians 5, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, the church is a habitation of God. You as an individual, it tells us, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. As you consider what God is showing you today through His Word, I want you to take to heart the fact that our status is that of fellow citizens and family. And as a family of God, God is your Father. We are fellow heirs with Jesus Christ. And believer, rejoice in that truth. I trust that you will look at the church in a different way today as you walk in here and see these people. See us. I trust that you will see us not as just little islands unto themselves, but you will see us as a not only a body, but a building. And a building that as you and I, as we as a church, follow the direction of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will know a firm and solid building structure. It will be true. You know, Jesus Christ, He will not fail. The failing comes when we get our eyes off of Him. And dear church, don't ever let me try to distract us, because as a pastor, pastors can wield a lot of authority. It's not my place.
This is not my church. This is Jesus Christ's church. He's the cornerstone. And the same goes true for you, or groups of you. No, Jesus Christ, and He must be the one who gives us direction. He establishes the direction of the walls. He establishes how straight they are. And boy, am I glad for that. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about our cornerstone. It's about the chief corner, Jesus Christ. So that being true, we can then look at the New Testament and all the writings that we see there, and we can look at them and glean incredible truth, because the apostles and the prophets wrote and taught so that there is a firm foundation for us to be built upon. The New Testament includes for you and I as believers firm footing so that we might live and please God, so that we might be the church of Jesus Christ, that we might be part of that structure, that one day, and we don't know when, but one day God's going to look down and say, my church is complete. It has reached the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ, and He will take us to be with Him. And then at that time, the focus will then go back to the Jewish people. But right now, Jesus is our peace, and Jesus is our cornerstone. Lord, I thank You for this time. And Lord, today's message, there wasn't a lot of deep things in it. It wasn't real intricate. But God, yet it's important that we understand our foundation. And God, I pray that we as a church, that we would keep You in our view. Lord, as we make decisions, as we walk together, Lord, we will know unity as we know You, as we keep our eyes on You. And I pray that You would guide Your church. Guide us and help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.